Folks, we have a very special episode of Take the Points for Week 10. Very special. First off, I'm Tom Zalesnok in Connecticut, and I'm here with our two co-hosts for the day. Our usual host, Dan Partridge from Phoenix, Arizona, and joining him from Phoenix, Ryan Spillett, occasional guest host of this show. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Hey, Z. Not too much. Arizona's very lovely this time of year. Feeling good about college football. We're hitting our midseason stride. Underrated. We've actually hit a lot of bets over the last couple weeks. So we're either going to keep it going or crash miserably. Either way, it's going to be a fun ride. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Spillett, thank you for joining us.
Hey, good to be back. It's always fun to get back on with you guys, especially when you're in the middle of a hot streak. So hopefully I can keep your luck going.
Please describe to all the listeners the location and conditions under which you two are joining me.
We are outside right now recording this in Ryan's yard. It's absolutely freezing. I had to get a hooded sweatshirt off Ryan. Hoods are up for both of us. Sweatpants are on. What's the current temp, Ryan?
It's about a balmy 74.
Unbearable. We just can't take this right now. So we are, we're freezing.
Let me describe what I'm seeing on the video screen. It's 74 degrees, as they noted. It's very, very dark, and they're both like shivering with hooded sweatshirts, hoods up. It is grainy. It looks like one of those old Bin Laden cave videos.
It is.
Basically.
Except it's 74 degrees. Here in Connecticut, I've got the hooded sweatshirt, but I've got the sleeves rolled up already, starting to get warm. It is, I would say, about 58 now.
Oh, no.
It's warm today.
We'd be inside I'd have to cancel a podcast.
All right. This is a very special episode for a few more reasons besides having the three hosts. We have to say goodbye to a dear, dear friend of college football, a great coach. We have the first playoff rankings just came out a half hour ago or so. And live during this episode, I am going to watch Hotline Bling for the first time ever and give my reaction on air. It's very exciting. I didn't even know what a Hotline Bling was until a week ago. Dan told me I've done no investigation on my own for obvious reasons, aka I don't care. I just learned who sings it. I had no idea it was Drake. And that's going to be exciting. But first, Dan, Ryan, the new playoff rankings are out. We've got Clemson 1, LSU 2, Ohio State 3, Alabama a surprise 4. And then further down the list, 5 Notre Dame, Baylor, Michigan State, TCU, Iowa, and Florida rounding out the top 10. So take it away, Dan. Why don't you start with your thoughts?
They're completely absurd, but, I mean, everything will get kind of played out. It should be LSU probably 1, Ohio State 2, Art Briles and his Baylor Bears at 3, and then 4 is a mix. I'd probably go Clemson at 4. If Alabama played Clemson, they'd be a 2.5-point favorite, according to Vegas. I just saw that on Twitter. So, I mean, right there, that tells you they're 1-loss team favorite over the alleged number 1 team's flawed. And Alabama's a 6.5-point favorite home against LSU this week. So, that shows another aspect of it as well. So most of this will play out. I don't think TCU or the Big 12 champion really has to worry. They'll have enough quality wins at the end if they end up beating Oklahoma State and TCU or vice versa. Or one of those three teams finds a way to beat everybody, and one ends up undefeated. They don't have a conference championship game still. Keep that in mind. So they just got to get through till Thanksgiving. So it should play itself out. The initial rankings are stupid. They're great for stirring up controversy. Kirk Herbstreit's on TV going, "This is what Baylor gets for having a bad non-conference schedule." Shut up. It's going to be fine. You're going to tell me if they beat Oklahoma State and TCU that they're not going to get over a one-loss team. Wrong. They don't have the heart to do it. So I'm not worried about it. But it's kind of fun for talking heads and people to watch after baseball ends and sports are boring already.
Obviously, it doesn't matter in the long run because these teams all play each other, but do you think it's important at all that they sort of get this right? Or does it matter? Can they just pick anyone at this point? Is there any integrity to it, I guess is what I'm asking?
No, and I don't think they need to get it right right now. They're just kind of compiling a list of potential teams that can make the Final Four at this point. You know, there's a handful. You know, there's eight teams I think that can probably make it, you know, and it'll play itself out. There's a lot of football to be played. We aren't going to see a situation where it's like, oh, we got all these undefeated teams. What's going to happen? You know, if a team goes undefeated, they're going to get in, unless it's like a weird, you know, non-power conference team over a one-loss Alabama, something like that, which we all understand. But outside of that, I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. I'm at a zero panic scale, and the committee is just having fun with us. Hardly pay any attention is my advice.
Spill it. How do you feel about your half of the country being underrated, basically? You got Baylor, 6, TCU at 8. The top Pac-12 team didn't even crack the top 10. You got Stanford ranking in at 11.
Yeah, that's a little surprising. I think a lot of people expected Stanford to be higher on the list, but it doesn't really bother me at all. They've been pretty up and down, so I don't think it's a big deal that they're ranked a little bit lower. They're going to have chances to get some decent wins because they still have Notre Dame. You know, I think my biggest issue is they made such a big deal about finding this committee, this playoff committee, and making sure they got the right people and really pushing them and all that. Three of the people have already resigned. Three people from that playoff committee have already resigned, and we're only in the second season of it. So they're going to keep tweaking it. I think it'll get better, but that's pretty surprising to me that already three people have bailed.
Yeah, and listen, nobody's going to care if they get it right in the last week of the season, but it just seems strange to me that they would put these one-loss teams over undefeated teams who we know are powerhouse programs. We're not talking about Houston or Toledo sneaking in. We're talking about Baylor. To me, Baylor looks much better than Notre Dame so far this season, as does TCU. I think you could argue TCU has greater potential, especially given that they're undefeated. Michigan State does look a little shaky, and Iowa's still Iowa. They haven't really proven anything, but if it were
Iowa's useless.
I think Iowa's okay, and we'll get to them later, but they have a soft, soft schedule. They could win out at least until the Big Ten championship game.
Wow, interesting.
But if it were me personally, the top three is fine. I would stick Baylor in there just out of respect, the way they've played. The schedule has been soft, but they've absolutely just destroyed everyone they've played, which is what top teams are supposed to do. And I don't think it's fair to penalize teams for an injury until you've actually seen them play with the new guy. So that's my opinion, but it doesn't matter. So let's move on.
Yeah.
Did either of you catch the Miami controversial win?
Yes, I saw the highlight.
It was one of the craziest plays, whether it was legitimate or not, one of the craziest plays I've seen in a long time. Probably the best of the year so far. Apparently now they're saying that the guy's knee was down and it shouldn't have counted. David Cutcliffe came out and said that the NCAA should be able to retroactively change it so that Duke won the game. Remember the days before replay? I mean, this is just the kind of thing you live with. These plays happen once a week, it seemed like.
You're absolutely right. Unfortunately for Cutcliffe, they, you know, got hosed on a missed call. But if they still run the table and they, you know, go to the ACC title game and they find a way to upset Clemson, like undefeated Clemson, I think the committee will kind of overlook this loss and they'll say, well, actually, they should have won that game, and they'll allow them in. They still control their own fate to make it into the Final Four, in my opinion, so that game really doesn't matter.
I want to say I don't agree for one reason. If you're a one-loss team, your bowl game payout is probably about $4 to $4.5 million to your school. If you're a 2-3 loss team, your bowl payout's about $1 million. This loss could cost that program $3 million in bowl revenue. That's the only issue I have that I would be upset about. But that's all I really have to say about the whole situation. It's probably going to cost them about $3 million.
I'm with you in theory, but I think the big caveat there is if they were to win out, which I don't think is going to happen. So see how it goes. Who wants to give the eulogy / remembrance / praise for Mr. Frank Beamer retiring this week?
I'll do it. Frank Beamer, underrated head coach. It's Virginia Tech. If it wasn't for him there, they may not even be a real, you know, college football program. I mean, I don't think they would be even in the ACC. They'd probably be in maybe the American Conference if possible. He put so many guys in the NFL all over the place, especially in the defensive, area. Whole bunch of guys always had really great special teams, always found a way to find a way to have a huge play to turn a game, knew how to keep a game close against a team that was more talented and had more upside. Like, they, for instance, were the only team to beat Ohio State last year. People forget that already. And even before that, I mean, he had all kinds of upsets in the 90s and the 2000s playing Florida State and those really good Syracuse teams, even for a while. So, hats off to him. Tech's probably completely fucked. They have no chance of ever winning a national title. And they've, had a hard time there at that college, for a bunch of different reasons. So I wish Tech the best. Frank Beamer, hats off to you. Amazing coach. Tons of NFL talent. Great special teams, which I appreciate. And, have fun with retirement. You're a great coach.
I agree 100%, and I would just like to add that I think this is good timing, even though they've been down by their standards the last few years. Things are trending in the wrong direction for Tech, and I don't think it's going to get any better anytime soon. So it's a smart move to go out while you're still somewhat on top, at least while he controls his own destiny. If he stuck around for, two or three more years, I think he might have been unceremoniously dismissed.
I would also like to add that he would still be coaching two or three more years if Logan Thomas didn't single-handedly ruin his career. I mean, as a freshman, he had some sort of talent, but he got worse Zach Mills style, and his recruiting got all messed up. If he would have known just how awful he turned into a quarterback over the 4 years, he could actually recruited someone else. But no, he's like, we're good on quarterbacks. We got Logan Thomas. Messed up everything. Tech was never any good. Now he's got to retire. I blame Logan Thomas.
I can second that. Tech seems to have been screwed by many a quarterback. Remember the Marcus Vick era?
How could you not remember the Marcus Vick era?
Listen, I know that, I have two brothers. Not every brother is exactly the same in everything. My younger brothers are both way better than me in, soccer. There are slight differences in other sports. But Michael Vick shouldn't be a national championship quality quarterback in college. And then Marcus Vick does nothing. It shouldn't be that big of a disparity.
You're absolutely right. He was completely awful. And that was the beginning of the end kind of for Tech, and they hung around for a while. But they had quarterback issues. They had a lot of talent, running backs, cornerbacks, safeties. They just couldn't find a quarterback. But Marcus Vick, blah. Ugh, we should never talk about that name again.
Although Marcus Vick is one of the best Twitter follows ever.
You would follow him.
Is that true? I'm unaware of Marcus Vick. I just thought of his name now. I had forgotten for 10 years he even existed.
Oh, no, you're going to want to go ahead and follow him on Twitter. It is really entertaining.
Okay, when I watch Hotline Bling, we'll come back with a series of tweets from Marcus Vick.
Good.
I'm going to actually spill it. I'm going to deputize you to do that. Dan, we'll come up with something for you, but we'll have a...
I'm just going to hang out and watch you guys work. I'm overworked.
Okay, you're overtaxed. So who else would be on your list of the Zach Mills and Logan Thomas? Who's your Mount Rushmore of QBs who came in with great potential and then slowly got worse? Mills, definitely. Logan Thomas, definitely.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Juice Williams.
Oh.
he was putting up 500 yards all purpose as a freshman, 400 as a sophomore, throwing for like 120 as a senior.
Yeah, I don't even know what happened. He might still be on the team, just on the bench. Like, I'm not sure. Juice Williams might be in his year seven now. Now he's just the water boy.
Maybe.
Anyone
Taylor
else?
Taylor Martinez.
Was he really good, though?
Yeah, freshman year, Taylor Martinez was running up and down the field for the Cornhuskers, and they're like, wow, imagine when he learns how to throw. And he never did. And him and Solich, like, I think, killed each other or something, or they got in a fist fight, and it was all fucked up. Was it Solich?
Pelini,
sorry. Who's even crazier, even better. But Taylor Martinez flopped out. There's a bunch of Pac-12 quarterbacks everyone thought was amazing and were not good. Taylor Kelly on Arizona State can't stay healthy. That's kind of not his fault, I guess. Who else are we thinking of?
Taylor Kelly was more like a bell curve. He built up towards his sophomore, junior seasons and then came back down.
Yeah. Even Jake Locker was better as a freshman than he was as a junior.
Yeah, you're right. Jake Locker's a good one.
I'll go with Locker.
John David Booty. Right? He was supposed to be
that's why we keep you around.
That's why he was supposed to be the best quarterback in the country his senior year. He was horrible.
Who was the Florida quarterback after Werfel?
Jesse Palmer.
Oh.
Well, he never really was good at all, so he never got worse.
Finish your beer if you're listening at home. We just had a non-announcing Palmer reference on Take the Points. All right, we got to go.
We got to move on. If you think of more, though, feel free to throw them out throughout the program. You don't even have to be prompted. We could be in the middle of the LSU-Alabama analysis. You just throw out your declining quarterbacks. Also, if you have a name for this phenomenon that we want to use going forward, feel free.
It's Sack Mills syndrome.
Sack Mills syndrome.
Okay. Well, by next week, we'll have a PSA put together with some sad music and Sack Mills syndrome. Where's Sack Mills now? You think he's in like Turning Stone Casino at the $5 roulette table?
No, he's selling insurance within 12 miles of State College, Pennsylvania.
That is a very accurate. He right now is almost asleep. He's got to be asleep at 9 on the East Coast.
The rumor, or it may be true and proven about him, is that he cared more about poker than he did about quarterbacking, and that was part of his decline, that he became more interested in playing poker.
Good.
Which, Dan, I know you can appreciate.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it ruined his life, but...
I'm sure his life is fine, though. He's probably got some, like, pretty hot Pennsylvania wife. And like you said, he's probably, hi, I'm Sack Mills. And if you want to throw a winning pass, come on down to Harrisburg Kia.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they got to work on the copy for that ad, but I'm sure he's
got
something.
We have winning rates.
Yeah. Unlike my career, this Kia will not decline over its first 4 years.
Yes. If it does... you could turn it in for a whole bunch of more crap quarterbacks. I mean, cars in the future.
By the way, Christian Hackenberg recently became the all-time leading passer in Penn State history. Number two, Sack Mills, baby.
That is an inaccurate list of best Penn State quarterbacks. It's very flawed.
It's leading passers. Well, Penn State didn't pass the ball for like when they were really good and they won all the titles. They never passed. Kerry Collins was like the first Penn State quarterback to do a forward lateral.
Who was the quarterback that was like Calvin Booth?
Yeah.
Calvin Booth? Is he playing?
Calvin Booth? Isn't he a DJ?
I don't know what he's doing right now.
I'm thinking of Calvin Harris. Same thing.
You're thinking of that. Yeah, never mind. Keep going.
Anyway, Calvin Harris, I'm pretty sure, is just like a Mac software. He's not an actual human being.
Unbelievable.
So we got a game going on right now. Undefeated Toledo hosting Northern Illinois. Who's betting on this one?
Neither of us. We forgot it started, but Tuesday night action. I'm very excited to see it.
It's the best. How long until every single day has college football? It can't be long.
We're real close. I mean, right now we got games Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week. That's pretty good.
All we need is a Monday game, like an early Monday game, as we mentioned before the Monday Night Football game.
Yeah.
And then what we need is a late Sunday game, like Arkansas State plays against Sunday Night Football. So then whenever Sunday Night Football is a blowout, you switch over to Arkansas State versus UL Monroe.
Perfect. UL Monroe, by the way, listeners, covered last week. I think they won outright at ULL.
They did.
As a 12-point dog. We talk about that all the time.
All right, gentlemen, I'm going to leave this up to both of you. We've got a big Thursday night game. Baylor, the number 6 Baylor, travels to Kansas State. Their first, some would call it their first true test of the season, although I think we're underrating, say, West Virginia and Texas Tech. Even though they're not great teams, I would consider them, you know, capable opponents, teams that could beat you. I think those are quality wins.
Yes.
So what's going to happen on Thursday? It's a 17-point line.
I'm really scared. This is a freshman quarterback coming in, taking over for Seth Russell on the road, hostile environment. It's Kansas State Super Bowl. We talk about that all the time. Be careful. I will not lay the points nor take the over. I just want to sit back and hope that this kid's 80% as good as Seth Russell. And, that's kind of my hope. But I think it'd be crazy to wager on this game. If Kansas State was a little bit better, obviously you'd take them, but they're only 3-4. So I don't think you can really, take them, even though they're the right side. So it's a stay away, and it's a game you watch and kind of learn and move on.
Spill it. You're the resident coach in the house. Did you ever have to deal with a major injury on your lacrosse teams?
Oh yeah. I mean, injuries happen all the time and you just kind of plug in and do what you got to do.
But did you ever have, star player on your team injured?
Not really.
How do you deal with it? You just put a new guy in and hope for the best?
I mean, with something like college football, it's a system. You just got to plug the guy into the system and trust the system and trust that they have 4 of their 5 offensive linemen are seniors and 3 of their 4 defensive linemen are seniors and just rely on that. And Kansas State is that's like Dan said, everything he said was true, but they're coming off a 58-0 loss, I think it was. So we'll see what happens.
You didn't you have a major injury in your playing career?
Nothing major.
No.
Not really. They're all in the off season. All my broken ankles and wrists and stuff like that were always in the off season.
Oh, okay. Because I remember you walking around on crutches for a while, but that might have been later on. I remember you at a Lake Placid tournament on crutches, definitely.
Here again, Lake Placid's mentioned on the podcast.
Yeah. Summer ball.
All right, guys. You guys can talk about Lake Placid. I'm going to be over here looking at college football stuff.
We are not. This is a college football podcast. We're not. First off,
okay.
Lake Placid lacrosse tournament could be its own series of like 8-hour podcasts.
Lake Placid 2.
Lake Placid After Dark. First off, iTunes wouldn't even run it. We need a new rating system for iTunes.
Lake Placid After Dark is a genius idea, Tom. Write that one down.
I will. I'm going to talk to the guys who made Wet Hot American Summer. I feel like Lake Placid Lacrosse Camp should be their next movie.
It really should be.
All right, gentlemen. I got to say, I think 17 taking the points is pretty good. I'd be a little hesitant to bet against Baylor. I wouldn't feel good about it in my soul. But if you're just sizing up that line without emotion, I don't know how you can go against Bill Snyder getting 17 points at home in a weird Thursday night game. As we said, those Thursday night games are always close. So I think I like that one a lot.
Okay. Traitor.
Anyone have thoughts on newly red hot Mississippi State going to Missouri? Dak Prescott playing well. Mississippi State now ranked in the top 25. I think they're 21st in the new poll. Looking good.
Mississippi State's really good, and they had a lot of guys leave last year in a lot of positions. Like, they lost, 15 starters or something ridiculous like that. But, they had a guy who you know, could be a Heisman Trophy, you know, finalist if he had anything around him. So quarterback play is so important, especially when, you know, he is running the kind of system he does, that, you know, power, spread, run formation where he keeps it a lot. So, you know, ball control, rush your defense. And Missouri's not good. They're always a mess. I don't know, Matty Mock, I don't know what's going on. He's kicked off the team or suspended or he's back.
I'll tell you what's going on. Zero touchdowns in the last three games.
Not good. I like Mississippi State minus the 7.5.
Yeah, Missouri, great defense. The offense is just abysmal right now. You can't bet on them.
I agree.
All right, on to Saturday. Vandy at Florida. 21-point line. Seems like a letdown game. I don't have the upcoming schedule in front of me, but I have a feeling this is one of those sandwich letdown look-ahead games.
Yeah, I think you have to go with Florida just because they've been playing some great ball. Dude, that was such an easy win last week, taking them over Georgia. That was not even a sweat whatsoever. Only laying 2.5. That was a joke. 21 sounds about right. Man, the over-under is only 37.5, so they're telling you Florida's going to win this game, like, you know.
36-0?
Yeah, so I would lay the 21. I think Vandy might get shut out.
On the flip side of that coin, we've got Kentucky at Georgia, 14-point line. Georgia favored by 14. Tough to take them by two touchdowns against anyone now.
Can't do it. Kentucky, not exactly a powerhouse, not exactly even a medium-sized house, I guess you could say. But they are getting 14 against an offense that can't score, and hope for some weird turnovers. Hold Georgia in the red zone when they finally make it there. Take the 14. I mean, I'm not laying 14. I can't do it. So take Kentucky.
Dan, something happened this week that you and I thought was not going to happen for a very long, long time. I believe Paul Feinbaum, who I make fun of announcers a lot, but there are a handful of smart ones. I think college football has some of the smartest announcers known to man compared to some other sports. And Feinbaum's one of the really smart ones. He started calling for Mark Richt to be fired, and other people picked up on it. And now it seems to be like a thing, like maybe not a campaign, but a legitimate question whether Mark Richt should be fired. And let me just say, I love it. Mark Richt should absolutely be fired. People are asking whether it's the right time. My analogy is they say like having a baby, there's no such thing as a right time. You just have to go ahead and do it. And then you learn on the fly. I think the same logic applies to firing Mark Richt. Just got to go ahead and do it.
There's absolutely zero reason he should be the head football coach of the University of Georgia. And it's really as simple as that. They have an unbelievable recruiting pool within their own state. They have a ton of talent, which makes it to the NFL. Even guys who come to their team and don't like pan out for various academic issues make it to the pros, like Isaiah Crowell and Chris Conley. And, you know, they lose Gurley, you know, whatever. The point is, he's underachieved for years now. It's a joke. Fire his ass and get someone in there that could possibly win a title because you have the talent to do it. You're in one of the rare spots where you actually have a talent every year to win a national title. You're just solely poor to the coach. You don't get it done.
I was reading a thing about Georgia. Not only do they have a ton of talent in that state, but they have one of the biggest distances geographically between them and other talented schools. Even though you've got schools like Auburn and the Carolina schools and Alabama seems somewhat close, when you look at the proximity of other schools, I mean, Florida, there are so many good schools competing against each other. Alabama, you've got Auburn right there. Louisiana has all the great UL teams, of course. And even, you know, in South Carolina now, you got South Carolina, Clemson, et cetera. But Georgia really owns that state. I mean, Georgia Tech's played well, but
yeah,
in terms of recruiting, they're not a threat.
No.
So they should be just absolutely dominating. And they don't, and it's because of Mark Richt. Dan, are you excited for another addition to the 2021 MAC? I think we
of
named
two. Of course
I am. Solich, Muschamp, Pelini, Richt. It's Maction on a Tuesday night. Sarkisian. Kiffin.
Yeah, that's right.
Golden.
Golden.
Get ready. The Mac is going to come Edsel. Become competitive. Edsel.
No.
Diaco.
I have a level for him.
I'm putting Diaco in there. Pascalone.
Leach. Holgersson.
It's going to be too competitive. They're going to have to expand the MAC into Canada. There's not going to be enough teams for all these washed up coaches.
Muschamp.
No, would anything beat Muschamp? Pelini. The showdown on Monday night before Monday Night Football.
Tuesday, 4:30 Eastern, ESPN2.
Two's generous, yeah. ESPN Goal Line features.
National Spelling Bee airing at the same time on ESPN.
Hi, I'm Prim Saripapat, and welcome to the Watch ESPN coverage of Central Michigan versus Eastern Michigan, featuring Will Muschamp versus Bo Pelini.
It's going to be I can't wait. I cannot wait.
It's the best. All right. Spill it. Why don't you chime in for this one? We've got Texas Tech heading to West Virginia. The over-unders just keep continuing to be extremely high. 79 points. West Virginia's favored by 8.
Yeah, that's not nearly enough points.
No, not even close.
If it doesn't have an 8 in front of it, you're not in the neighborhood. And honestly, it probably should be 89.5 or even 90.5. I think 90.5 is a fair number. Honestly, the spread, I think 8 is probably about right. I wouldn't touch that, but double up on the over.
Dan, one thing we always joke about is when Vegas has just had enough. Like when Alabama was winning championships a couple years ago, there would come these games when Alabama would just be favored by 62 points. And it was It was just way overboard, but it was Vegas was just like, fuck this. We're sick of losing money on Alabama. When are we going to get to that point with Texas Tech? It feels like they're still holding back on us. It feels like next week or 2 weeks from now, they're just going to be like, fuck it. Texas Tech, 103 over under.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we're already into November. They only have 2 games left after this, you know, so it's already over. I mean, they fucked up. We looked at this all year and said they're all coming in. And last week was a complete, total fucking joke. Texas Tech scored on the third offensive play of the game. They're up 7-0 with 14:21 to go in the first. And I was like, this is going so far over. It's sunny out. There's no rain. There's no wind. I went out to the store and bought some shit. I came back. I looked in and go, halftime here in Lubbock, 38-28. And I laughed my ass off. And I said, this shit's going way over 100. And it went 123 points. My God.
123. Just unbelievable.
The over-under was 74. What kind of complete farce is that? It was 70 degrees and sunny. That's only 10 touchdowns in 4 quarters. That's 2.5 touchdowns a quarter. That's only like 10-7 you see on the box score. No, because there's going to be like 7 possessions. Like, it's a total – someone should be fired. I don't get it. Like, I should have just taken all the money I owned and rolled it over the past month on these. They were so easy. This is your last one of the year that's pretty easy. The next 2 games, they play kind of shitty offenses. So these 2, and then we're going to pool all our money. Give them a cool bowl game, please. Just please, that's all I really ask for in the whole bowl. Give them like a turf game against some really fun team, please, please. And we'll just bet we'll bet everything we have on it, and we'll laugh.
Texas Tech Boise State, I would love to see.
Oh,
in the Sun Bowl.
Give me Rich Rod. Give me
Rich Rod. Arizona.
That would be unstoppable. State. Either of the Arizona teams would be great.
Arizona State, Texas Tech.
Las Vegas Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Arizona State takes on Texas Tech in the Las Vegas Bowl. Defense is for pussies.
Over under. Very good, Z. Over under 93.5.
So I want to say something about this. Another very smart college football person, the smartest person, in fact, Mr. Phil Steele. We know we love his analysis. He put out some stats yesterday about Texas Tech. Their offense, number 1 in all college football. Their defense, number 121.
It was the worst I've ever seen.
I had to look it up because I'm like, how many teams are there in college football these days? I'm like, is that dead last? It turns out there's 128 currently. So, but if you look at the teams that are lower, I mean, you're talking about like Muschamp, Solich, Sweet Maction. Like, it's not even MAC teams.
O'Leary.
I mean, it's like Sunbelt teams. I mean, it's teams you wouldn't even know. So yeah, I'm considering betting a very, very high amount on this game, like $100 minimum.
Make sure that it's nice in Morgantown. Check the weather because of it could be snowy or some bullshit like that. But if it's like 58 and sunny, it's so funny. I mean, I'm not sure if anyone's watching but me, but the fourth quarter of that game last week, like the offense was coming to the line and players were all just kind of just like looking at each other and standing while like everyone was standing while they snapped it like it was the AFC versus the NFC in the Pro Bowl. They had to throw a wide receiver screen and make two blocks. You run up down the sideline for 15 yards and get knocked out. And they'd do it like four times and they'd be like, first and goal at the six. Like it was, it's not even football. It's not. It's hilarious. So tune in. I don't know.
All right, let's do a back and forth speed round. We'll do like five or six games on a speed round and then we'll take our break and then we'll do a little hotline bling.
Yeah, you will.
All right, game one. This one's for you, Danny. Notre Dame at your native Pittsburgh. Notre Dame -8.5.
Lay the points with Notre Dame. Pitt's no good.
All right, spill it. This one's for you. Penn State at Northwestern. Northwestern, 2.5-point favorite.
I'd say lay it. I think Northwestern, their defense is good, but I think this is a game Penn State feels that they need to get, and I think at some point, if Hackenberg really is a top 10 pick, then he's got to do it in a game like that against an elite defense.
Wait, are you saying take Penn State?
Take Penn State.
+2.5.
Oh, Penn State's getting 2.5. Maybe I said that incorrectly. Okay, I'm with you. Saquon Barkley's back, and he's playing great, and Penn State's a different team with him. Northwestern's fading. I like it. I'd take a small wager on Penn State. In fact, I'd take the money line.
Agreed.
Danny, Duke, UNC. UNC 7-1, looking strong. How about some hot ACC coastal action?
Yeah, UNC finally actually turning it around. I still like Duke, though. They're tough. Cutcliffe, good coach. +8, I'll take it. Take Duke. Christian Leitner, +8.
I love Duke football. Spill it.
Duke lacrosse.
Spill it. The Cuse. We're done with next. Duke lacrosse comments. Syracuse at Louisville. Louisville, a 14-point favorite. Does the Cuse have what it takes to cover the spread?
Oh, this smells like a backdoor. This absolutely freshman quarterback, sophomore receiver. They're trying to put something together, even if they're getting beat by 25, 30 points in the second half. I don't think it's good. I think they're going to keep chucking it. And I think they somehow backdoor cover and lose by 11 or so, 10 or 11.
All right. I was very disappointed in the Cuse last week. They had a good matchup, I would say, against Florida State with the backup QB and, Dalvin Cook out. And, man, they just got smoked. So I can't put any faith in Cuse going forward.
All right.
All right. Whoever wants it, Stanford at Colorado, 16-point line.
Colorado's really bad. Stanford's been amazing ever since that week one meltdown. I keep mentioning that. I'm going to stop now. It's the last time I'm going to mention it. Stanford is excellent. Lay it.
All right, and you could fight over this one if you want. Actually, I want to hear you both chime in since it's the hometown team. You've got your Sun Devils head up to take on Mike Leach, secure in his job after keeping it close with the tough Stanford. 2.5-point line, Washington State favored by 2.5.
Arizona State just keeps finding a way to lose at home. On the road, somehow they're a better team. I'm going to take Arizona State money line.
Spill it.
I don't know the last time that Washington State was favored in a conference game. So I'd have to say take Arizona State.
there's some weird things going on in the Pac-12. This is really your guys' territory, but we'll get to the Washington game later, but that's a weird line too. It's a crazy year. People are starting to think, I think that maybe that conference is down this year and might not even have a team in the playoffs. So no respect for a lot of different Pac-12 teams. All right, gentlemen, the time has come. We're going to take a quick break, quick in podcast terms, but it's going to be plenty of time for me to watch Hotline Bling. And Spillet, you were supposed to do something too, which I forgot. And Dan's going to sit there and do nothing. So we'll be back in a minute with some hot takes on music. Well, my internet is being slow and doesn't want to pull up Marcus Vick's tweets, so we'll let that load and see if it comes up in a little bit. But we are back, and if you're ready, Dan, I've watched Hotline Bling for the first time ever. I have some thoughts. I guess you could call these thoughts. I was a little confused was my first thought, I would say, but I definitely have some clear thoughts about the video itself. So I guess let me start with the video, and then we'll work up to the song. So it seemed like a combination of, you know, that M.C. Escher painting, The Staircase, mixed with like a 24-hour liquor store neon lighting. That was my first thought. Then I was watching, he was sort of in the box is the best way to describe it. The thing that this is just my weird 90s brain, but it looked like he was in the, he stole the set of Jamiroquai's Virtual Insanity video. And he was like, this is going to be cool. But then when he tried to start the floor moving, it just wasn't working. So he's like, fuck this. Just give me some neon lights and we'll just stand here and dance around.
That's there's a good possibility that's actually what went down.
So, yeah. And then I also want to congratulate him for best use of the rhombus, the shape the rhombus in a music video. Because I noticed he was in one of those boxes with a big rhombus in the background. Other than that, I don't know what the fuck is going on. He just seems to be on a staircase with neon lights dancing around, which, I don't know, Dan, have we reached a point where like, it's now more important to have a dance than to actually work on your song?
It's like almost equally, or I mean, not, it's not equally, but it really helps because if it takes off, then even if your song's mediocre, then everyone will know it. So music's getting out of control these days for the kids. I find it very funny to tune in and kind of semi-pay attention to what's going on via Twitter and stuff. It's really, really funny to me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I never heard of the song before just now, so I shouldn't be a reliable expert, and I'm usually not up on or into pop music, so take this with a grain of salt, but like it. My honest assessment, like no sarcasm, no snark of the song, is that it just seemed very half-assed. Like it didn't seem like he put a lot of effort into that song. Seemed low energy, as Donald Trump would say. And like, I just don't get it. I mean, it's not a terrible song. It's just kind of like, bleh. Like I don't know why that's a hit song. It must be because of the video and the dance, right?
Yes, because it's very easy to make fun of and to put other people's heads and bodies on there. It's really, it's easy to Photoshop and meme and all that good stuff.
Oh, okay. So there's a whole interactive thing.
Yes. That's the genius of it. That's why I think it's genius. I think you're right. I think he half-assed it because he knew that was the point.
You think he did like, it on purpose because he knew people would mock it and get him more attention? You think he's the Donald Trump of music?
No. I think he's social media savvy, and he knew why put a ton of money into it. People are going to just put goofy heads on it and meme it and vine it. And like you said, the song is half-assed because screw it. It's going to get remixed by 50 different people, and it's going to be played in the club for the next year and a half. It's genius. Why work hard on it when you know it's going to get remixed anyways? You're going to get royalties. Move on.
That is a certain type of genius for sure. But
business savvy, not musically savvy.
Well, Spill, you'll appreciate this. Having just come from Paris, I, of course, made the pilgrimage to Jim Morrison's gravesite, which is very underwhelming for anyone who's thinking about going. He's got, like, the worst gravestone in that whole cemetery. But there's a guy whose songs hold up. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Some people hate the Doors, but those songs, to me, sound just as good now as they did back then when I was negative 30 years old when they came out.
Yes, I remember that.
But, you know, he wrote these songs, which people can make fun of him or his goofy lyrics or his tight leather pants or whatever, but they've stood the test of time. And it's not because he worried about the crazy dance. I just think if you're an artist, you should be thinking a little bit ahead. Drake is not like a total joke. I mean, I don't know many of his songs except for YOLO, but I know he's like, and I know he's a big hip hop star and one of the more artistically considered artists. He should be thinking more long term.
He is. This is his empire. Jay-Z's and you know, they got that section on lockdown. He's going to be the social media guy. That's what his empire is going to be.
Well, I'm putting Drake on the hot seat after that video. I've decided he's up there with Leech and Drake. That's the thing about being on the hot seat. If rapping doesn't work out, he can be Monday Night Mac, Solich, Beamer.
That's right.
Drake. All right, gentlemen, let's get into a song that
Erickson. Sorry.
Erickson. Butch Davis.
Thank you.
You got to say his first name because there's many Davises. Lou Holtz. Back. There's a lot of potential. All right, let's get into a pop song I do know that will segue into our next game. Here we go. This one I get. This dance is better too. Oh, I wish we had video on this podcast so you all could see Dan doing the nay-nay right now. Florida State with a down from the last couple years travels to Clemson and my new favorite coach, Dabo Swinney. Clemson, an amazing 12.5-point favorite. Awesome. One of the games of the week.
Clemson's playing really good. They find a way to win. You know, he's just such a great head coach, and thanks for playing that song, because that was a great intro. That was not planned. I didn't know that was coming.
No, that was planned 3 seconds ago.
Well, by me. Excellent work. I'm very happy. So anyway, home against Florida State. Check the injury situation for Florida State. See who's playing quarterback. See who's playing running back. I don't know if that's been announced or not. And then kind of reassess. I wouldn't lay a ton of points with Clemson. I don't think they're going to blow Florida State out. They'd be happy with any win. I'd probably stay away and just enjoy the game.
Spill it. Give me your hot take.
Basically agree with Dan. I think this line is pretty much right. I think 10 to 13 is just right in that hot zone. I wouldn't touch it in there. But I think it's going to be a fun game.
So I love Clemson this year. I love Dabo, but to me, this is too many points. Florida State struggles at QB this year, but they're still pretty damn good at every other position. They still got a good coach. I think they're going to show up for a big-time game. I think Clemson escapes by a field goal. That's it. All right, gentlemen. Enough of that. Another speed round. Whoever wants it. Arkansas at Ole Miss. 11-point line for Ole Miss.
Arkansas is a team that likes to play games close and then fade late. I would still take Ole Miss. I don't trust Arkansas.
All right. Wisconsin at Maryland. I'm going to take this one. We said before that Maryland has an interim coach who famously or infamously went 2-26 at New Mexico. Not famously, because I'm the only one who followed New Mexico football at all. But they suck. And meanwhile, Wisconsin has Corey Clement back. He came out and scored 3 TDs in his return, so he's the real deal. Maryland fucking sucks. I hate them because I bet Iowa. I went 8-1 last week, Dan, in my picks. And the one game I lost was Iowa minus 18 They won by 16, I think, when Maryland came back and got a shady backdoor cover at the end. So fuck you, Randy Edsall. Fuck you, interim guy from New Mexico. Fuck you, state of Maryland. Fuck you, Martin O'Malley. And go Wisconsin. Get big okay, W. Then.
Well said.
Martin O'Malley, I know we don't like to talk politics, but this dude's running for like Democratic office, which is hilarious. Because I'm pretty sure his whole campaign is just like, hey, I was that dude from The Wire. Please vote for me.
Yep, fair enough.
It's going to get him like 2% of the vote, too.
Good for him.
It's not bad. That's why I'm going to run for president next time and just say that Omar was based on me.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Rutgers at Michigan.
Michigan lane 24. Rutgers is a 3-5 squad. That's a lot of points. Michigan should win after that close call last week. I think I'd lay it with Michigan, but I don't love it.
All right, Cincy at Houston.
I'm going to take that one. I actually like Cincinnati in that game. Houston's only laying 8, and they've been playing great. But Cincinnati can score a lot of points. They could be losing by 14 with the backdoor cover. They have a chance of winning outright. Look at the numbers they've put up. And that's a shady line. I mean, that's an 8-0 team hosting a 5-3 squad in the same conference, and the line's only 8. Something's up there. Look for Cincinnati to keep that game close. They might actually be leading at the end of the first half somehow. That's a really strange line. Really, really strange.
I think the line makes sense for me personally. Maybe not if you just look at the two teams' records, but when you look at history of college football, you know that you're not going to get three undefeated small non-Power 5 teams, which is what we have right now. And then we've got a good one-loss Temple as well. History says pretty much every other year we get a bunch of teams like this and they all lose out over the last month. It's pretty much inevitable. Think Marshall last year. Maybe one of these teams goes undefeated, but either Houston, Memphis, Temple, again, Toledo, these teams are going to lose. It's going to happen at some point. So I wouldn't be surprised if Cincy pulls the upset. I do love Houston, though. Take the points, I guess we're saying. Yes?
Yes, I like Cincinnati.
All right, take the points is our official recommendation. Iowa at Indiana. Spill it, any thoughts on this?
Indiana's horrible. I think right now Iowa thinks they, you know, they can run the table. I mean, their schedule is really bad. I think they're pretty much not good either. But, you know, for me, I would just go with Iowa, though.
I think Iowa might be, they have a chance to run the table or maybe have one loss and go into that Big Ten championship game against Ohio State, Michigan State. And they're going to get exposed, I think. All right, TCU at Oklahoma State, the first of many Big 12 big games coming up this month.
Big game. This is so tricky. I'm going to lean TCU. I think they have a slightly better squad. The home field scares the shit out of me. Got into my head, I'm taking TCU. I don't like it. I'd probably take the over and have some fun. It's only 77.5. Yeah, it's going to be a great game, though. I'm excited.
Dan, the Oklahoma State bandwagon is registered in your name. You're not going to stick with them?
I can't. I really like that TCU offense. They got a They're really moving the ball well. And Oklahoma State really hasn't played anybody yet. So here we go. First test for my 66-1 shot.
All right. Ryan, weigh in on this one. This is a big game. We need everybody's take.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is going to be an awesome game to watch. I absolutely think that line is really, really shady. That Vegas zone, 5.5. I think the more fun bet would be the over. I think these two teams, it's got to have an 8 in front of it. And 77.5, I think it's going to be really fun to just bet the over.
All right. This is an absolute stay away for me. So glad I could add nothing to that conversation. All right, moving along. South Carolina at Tennessee. We're skipping that game because no one cares. UConn at Tulane. How about them Huskies, Dan? Big win over East Carolina by 17 points.
Unbelievable. Shocked the world. This is where they should lay an egg, but Tulane barely is naming a football team, so lay it with UConn. Here we go.
UCLA at Oregon State.
Ooh.
Just give me a quick pick. This one doesn't really merit much discussion.
UCLA minus 17.5. Oregon State's pretty bad. They're 2-6. Lay it with UCLA. They should roll.
All right. Iowa State, who, by the way, pretty good this season. They travel to Oklahoma, and it's a 25.5 point line. You guys can weigh in, but I would personally say stay away from this one. If this were in Iowa State, I would really like this as a sleeper pick, a close game, but not in Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma's been known to mail in games like this. This line's probably right. I wouldn't be surprised to see him winning like 48-24, which is the cover, but still looks good. Some bullshit like that. 46-29. Or 46-22, you know, some bullshit. You know.
Yeah. This game has 17-16 at halftime and then like a 30-point win final written all over it.
It's gonna be very shady. If you're into weird college football action and like alcohol, these two might mix well. Pick a side and just have a good laugh. Because it's coming down to some nonsense with 2 minutes to go. Like, you watch.
Up next, Michigan State travels to Nebraska and the ghost of Bo Pelini.
And his cat.
What do we think? New Nebraska coach not doing so hot either, huh?
Yeah, I'm gonna jump in on this one. Nebraska is absolutely terrible. Their fans have absolutely given up on the season. I've talked to a few. I actually talked to the wife of a former Nebraska player just today, and they've all given up. The season's over for them. Just too many heartbreaking losses. Absolutely. Michigan State 5.5. They're going to beat them by 2 touchdowns.
If you're Michigan State, I just have to say you're now ranked 7th, despite being undefeated in the new poll. I look for them to come out strong and try to make a statement this week. And if they don't, then you know, maybe they're not a team worthy of being in the Final Four. Navy at Memphis. Do we think Memphis has a chance at running the table?
Yeah, Memphis is really good. Every time I've seen them, they've looked great. They got that huge quarterback. I'm telling you, that guy's gonna be in the pros. Lay it with Memphis.
Memphis ranked ahead of Oklahoma State in the latest poll.
Interesting. I think those teams are pretty equal, though. Be surprised.
They're good. All right, Utah at Washington. Now, we've got a one-loss Utah team travels to Washington, who I think is 4-4, although I may be incorrect.
Yes.
Washington -1. Doesn't seem right. No respect for Utah at all this whole season, even when they were undefeated.
Very shady. Sorry if our podcast is interrupted.
Yeah, what's going on? You guys are in Bin Laden's cave, aren't you? You got fighter jets flying
that
over.
That's not that kind of helicopter. Don't worry about it. Helicopter out!
Black Hawk Down 2, starring Dan and Spillet.
Just hold on. It'll pass. And they're into Kyrgyzstan. I mean, Scottsdale.
Okay, those two places are very similar.
Huh? Moving on. What college football? What am I supposed to say so the Americans know? What was that? Oh, Utah-Washington. Very shady line. I'm going to take Utah. I don't get the -1. Screw it. Take Utah.
I don't get it either. Spillet, do you have any understanding of why this could be this way?
Chris Peterson and potentially weather. Other than that, I don't get it. Take Utah.
All right, up next, Dan, in the Letdown Bowl, Auburn visits Texas A&M. A&M, a 7-point favorite. Who is going to let us down this week?
I think A&M's going to let you down. I think these both teams are equally inefficient on both sides of the ball, and it will come down to some nonsense late. Therefore, take the point, 7.5. Auburn Tigers.
All right. Minnesota at Ohio State. Ohio State is 23-point favorite. JT Barrett out due to DWI. Cardale Jones will get the start. Minnesota should have potentially beat Michigan. I mean, I shouldn't say should have, but they were right in that and easily could have won that game. Now, no respect against Ohio State. Could this be our trap queen trap of the week?
No, it's not, see. But it's an interesting spot. Minnesota was a trap winner last week against Michigan. They almost won outright. So you heard it here and take the points. But I like Ohio State to roll in this game. We've seen throughout the season teams who keep it close 1 week with the big powerhouse. The following week they get waxed. It's happened a bunch of occasions. Kansas State, other squads I remember. Ohio State's going to get up early and roll. Ezekiel Elliott's going to run for 250 yards. You heard it here first. Ohio State, big blowout.
Cal, Oregon.
Oregon looked pretty good against – sorry, they looked good at times against Arizona State. Arizona State gave that game away. They outplayed them in more yards, more plays. It was just absurd. But Vernon Adams makes them at least competitive. Cal's been up and down. Oregon's home field's worth about that 4.5 points. Gun to my head, I take Oregon, but I don't love it.
Were these Thursday night triple OT games out west? We're now getting to the point where I can actually catch the final overtime when I wake up for work on Friday morning.
Fantastic.
They'll be nice. I love it. So I'm out of it with the Pac-12. Late games, no dominant team this year. Dan's firing his AK, or is it AR-15? Actually, if you're in Kurdistan, you probably just have like a paintball gun. Anyway, Kurdistan, next stop for Rich Rod.
Yep.
After he gets fired from Arizona.
Can't wait.
They visit USC this week, 17.5 point line. Officer Clay Helton, looking great as a coach.
Well, Z, here's the thing about this game. 17.5, huh? Oh! Two teams! Introduces the trap game of the week.
I still don't know what a trap is, but
so there you go. There's multiple versions of trap. There's hip-hop trap. There's just like electronic trap. That's obviously the hip-hop version. I like more the electronic version. Other people, mainstream, likes this. Anyway.
I'm learning a lot about popular hip-hop from you two 34-year-old white dudes today.
You know, I'm trying to you know, teach it. Like, for instance, 2 Chainz was a writer for, like, Juvenile and, like, all those guys. Or not, like, Juvenile, like the No Limit guys back in the day.
It was his idea to back that as up?
It wasn't that. I think he was a No Limit soldier writer. So I think he was like, he may have made him say,
He was supposed to take over in the 99-2000, but I believe that never came to fruition.
ATL, son. There's a photo of him with the new NBA commissioner, which is really like hilarious. So that just shows you how cool the NBA commissioner is, by the way, that he has a photo with that guy. Like, come on, badass. Anyway, this is a trap. 17.5 is way too much. USC is nuts. They have all these weird personal issues and shit. You never know what the fuck they're going to do. How the hell can you ever lay 17.5 against a team that can at least score some points? Rich Rod's crazy enough to pull this shit off outright. Trap of the week. Do not lay it with USC, like Arizona.
Any chance of an outright win?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so are we taking the money line or are we taking the points?
Taking the points with like a $5 money line, holla.
All right, gentlemen, it is time. We've reached the game of the week. There are a few games that could be considered the game of the week, but I think this is probably the one. Especially with the new rankings, we got number 2 LSU travels to number 4 Alabama. Alabama, 6.5 point favorite despite having the one loss out of these teams. 48.5 is the over-under. Take it away, either of you.
I think that this is the game where Leonard Fournette goes down in college football history lore. If he can do a 200-yard game at Alabama and it's, you know, a night game, that environment, if he can do a 200-yard game and make LSU win, he will go down in history as one of the best of all time. So And here's what's crazy. Like, I mean, that's a long shot, right? No, I don't think so. I think that's actually going to happen. I like LSU to win outright. I'm going to bet the money line on LSU, and I'm going to sit down with the giant thing of popcorn and soda, and it's going to be great. Go LSU. Go crazy less. Get a little weird on Saturday night. I'm excited.
What would be your key to the game? You think just a strong running game by Fournette? Just time of possession?
Fournette, time of possession, play action pass, and they have to create at least two or three turnovers on defense, which I think they can. They always have playmakers on defense. I think Alabama's quarterback's prone to a couple mistakes here and there. Henry's obviously a beast, but this is LSU, man. They're all going to the fucking league. So take the points for sure. I'm going to lay a little on the money line. I'm so excited for Saturday. It's already Tuesday, and I just can't wait to get to Saturday. It's going to be a great game.
College football is better when these two teams are great.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, for
Spill
sure.
Spill it. Your turn. Analysis and pick.
Well, unfortunately, Dan said exactly word for word pretty much what I wanted to say. I mean, I've said it every time I've been on this podcast with you guys. I picked LSU back in July, August. I thought they were going to win the national championship. I had money on Leonard Fournette to win the Heisman last year as a freshman, so I am absolutely all in on him. You know, I think what Dan said is the 200 yards in college football, you know, this is his Heisman moment. He's going to have a run or two in this game that are absolutely – the announcer will say, there's your Heisman. You know, that's my lock in this game, and I think LSU is going to win outright too.
I am completely 50-50 on this game. Do I have to be the one guy out of the three that takes Alabama just to be contrarian?
No.
To me, these teams are really even, and Alabama's got the home field advantage. I would have to say at gunpoint a 1-2 point Alabama victory with some shady antics at the end. Some classic Nick Saban or Les Miles antics.
No one's shadier than Les Miles. If the game's going to come down to something shady, it has to be the Mad Hatter.
He's going to pull this off somehow.
And that's exactly the thing. When I believe these two teams are extremely even, except at the coaching position. You've got one guy who's a crazy madman, and you've got one guy who's arguably the best coach since Bear Bryant, or maybe ever. So yeah. I'm going to say Saban out-duels Les Miles, wins by 1 point, and then rips out his heart Kano style.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I like it.
Well, gentlemen, we've reached the end of the games, but of course, the podcast is never over until we do our world-famous segment, Dan P's four-team, no longer defeated for the season teaser.
We are back alive, folks. It was a rough start, but last week wasn't being a sweat. We had no problem covering the four. We're going to try to do it again. It's going to be a little bit hard, but I think we can do it. Here we go, kids.
You're on a one-game winning streak, Dan. You're now, what, 1-7 on the season, I think?
I think it's like 1-5 and one. There was a push. It was 1-0.
Oh, yeah, the Sark week we declared a push. All right, 1-5-1.
I'm feeling hot. Here we go. First pick. We're going to take the Temple Owls in a pick'em at SMU. SMU is only 1-7. Temple's 7-1. I think they come back and bounce back. So take Temple in a pick at SMU. Pick two. We're going to take Florida at home, -8. We're going to move that line from 21-8 against Vandy. Lay the 8. I don't think Vandy can score at all. I like that. Moving on. We're going to go to Colorado. We're going to take Stanford -3 points at Colorado. Stanford should roll. Timmy Brando thinks they're a top four team, by the way, on Twitter, which I always trust his opinion. And then moving on, the last pick, we're going to go to Oklahoma State. We're going to take TCU +7.5. I think if TCU loses, it won't be by more than a touchdown. So TCU +7.5 is the last one. Those are your four. Good luck, kids.
Normally I pick where you're going to lose, but, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to steal your thunder or slow down your roll. You've been doing great, and, we'll just go with it. To end the show, if you'd like, I've got the Twitter feed of one Marcus Vick here.
Excellent.
This is a good one. So Marcus Vick writes, "The worst thing a human can go through is to have millions and be on top of the world, then years later somehow end up in the red. Sad face emoticon." And then somebody replied to him, "I don't know. I heard cancer is pretty fucking terrible."
There you go.
Let's see. "That money come and go. Gotta have discipline. Forever is a long time." That's actually some pretty solid financial advice.
Not bad. Not bad. Marcus Vick firm. MVF.
Walking Dead actually gets stupid in the second season. That's a Marcus Vick tweet. So far, I'm just hearing a lot of good logic. I would say third, but still close enough. Here's another one. "I see a lot of Lil Chumps on my menu." Any idea what that means?
Well, I think that means there's a lot of haters in his way. He has to move them out of the way.
Dan, how did you become like the hip-hop translator expert for me?
Because I've moved so much, man. I mean, I've lived in a bunch of areas, so I kind of pick up stuff, and I'm kind of up late, you know? Like, you know, I'm not a guy who goes to bed at 10 o'clock. Like, I always, you know, I don't know, just influence. I'm always intrigued, and I don't think you can really make fun of something if you don't know it, you know? So there you go. And if you like it sometimes, even better. You're like, this is great, you know? I mean, and also being out here in Arizona, it's beautiful, it's sunny. I mean, sometimes it's nice to roll down the street with a little hip-hop on, you know? It's November and it's 80 degrees. You're like, life's good.
Well, good. All right. A good, honest answer. All right, last one from Marcus Vick. Another very honest and very truthful one. "How Mike been playing for 12 years and can't slide, man? Smack in my head."
Well,
best analysis of his brother, probably of anyone.
I think we've seen the last Michael Vick.
All right. Any parting shots, Dan?
No, I think we're good. Track of the week. Let's think here for a second. We're going to go radio department. Never follow suit. That's a good one.
All right, that's the Take the Points playlist on Spotify.
That's right.
Spill it. Give us some final thoughts, football or otherwise.
All right. Well, I will say that I also am looking forward to this Saturday, the games. I think this Alabama-LSU is going to be great. And I also would like to add a track of the week. I'll stay with the radio department, and I will add the song Memory Loss. It's really good. It's so good that I refuse to turn the volume down going through the Starbucks drive-thru. Screw them. That song rules.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. Actually, probably not. But listen to them. Second. You heard it second and third. Take the Points podcast is now on Stitcher, as I mentioned, iTunes, podcast app, or takethepoints.net. And that's it, folks. Wait, Dan's got more.
I believe you can find us on other social media sites.
I don't know of any. I mean, there might be some others that were on from a long time ago, like GeoCities page, but there's nothing LinkedIn. That springs to mind.
No.
Dan, I got offered a free upgrade on LinkedIn. LinkedIn emailed me and offered me a free upgrade. I'm unclear whether it's related to our constant promotion of LinkedIn or whether it was just coincidence because I'm a highly paid, highly skilled business executive. But yeah, free LinkedIn upgrade.
What kind of upgrade is LinkedIn offering? Like, are your links closer and tighter to your circle or your links?
No. You are more linked into others.
You get to link others quicker? Do you get more links? Is it like a chain link fence where you pay for metal and you get more links to build?
It's all of those things. You get every single one.
Is it kind of like Amazon Prime, but for links?
Free shipping on all links. If you want a business executive shipped to your house, it's free.
Now you're talking my language.
a box will show up on your doorstep as just a guy in a suit talking about vertical synergy.
If I'm trying to network out of the country, will LinkedIn still forward emails to me, even though there will be charges? Because I'll pay them.
Yeah, I actually went to France recently, and so my phone didn't work while I was there. And so once a day, a guy in a suit would just jump in front of me on the street and hand me a croissant and tell me about exciting networking opportunities in my 40-mile radius from my home.
That's really nice that they go the extra mile.
They really do. LinkedIn, folks, get on there, because
we should offer that vacation package for international people. We will show up once a day at your door and talk to you about networking and get you to sign a network where you can look at the photos of me at a golf event.
It's too bad there are no shows like Punk'd or Tom Green still on the air, as far as I know, because being human LinkedIn and annoying the hell out of people would be an awesome sketch.
I love being linked. Wait, that sounds weird.
All right.
I like to be unlinked. I'm an unlinked. I'm like Unbroken Chain, Grateful Dead.
Yeah, you don't want to live your life all linked up, Dan. You want to be unlinked, free to roam as you please. You're a rambling man. You're unlinked. You're wild. Can't be tamed. You're a bald eagle soaring above the sky with no network professionals holding you down.
Why you gotta call me like that? You know, just because I don't have hair, you're all over me? This is not fair.
All right, folks. If the Taliban operatives don't gun down Dan and spill it, we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. Goodbye. Take the point.